With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to Scaredy Boys, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss horror movies. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Bram Stoker's Dracula. Bram Stoker's Dracula is a 1992 gothic horror film directed and produced by Francis Ford Coppola, based on the 1897 novel Dracula by Bram Stoker. The story follows the centuries-old vampire Count Dracula, who travels to England to seduce his barrister Jonathan Harker's fiancée, Mina Murray, and inflict havoc in the foreign land. It has widely been considered in Scaredy Boy circles to be the horniest film in existence.
I was going to say alternate synopsis. Horny, 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 vampire, yeah. Horny, 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 horny.
Do you know the song I'm Horny? I'm horny. That's all that. That movie is the embodiment. I think this episode should be called Horny Boys instead of Scaredy Boys. Dracula is always a bit horny.
Yeah. Like,
we've watched the Christopher Lee one and there's horniness in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kush.
This takes that horny and just like, what if horny did cocaine?
Yeah. Well, it's like, the horny in that film is like, it's all in the gaze of them.
Yeah.
This is like, no, you're going to see like a bat monster version of Dracula dry humping a woman.
Yep. I don't think he's dry humping.
I mean, there's probably a bit of moisture there, to be honest.
They're fucking. They're fucking in the middle of a maze.
Yes.
And he's gross.
Yeah.
I told you guys this while watching it. When I was a kid, my sister had to watch this for school, I think.
Wow.
Which I don't know why he'd watch this for high school.
It seems wrong. Yeah.
I walked in on the exact moment that Dracula, as the wolfman, basically, is fucking Lucy in the garden. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, what is this film?
Yeah. You were basically Winona Ryder. You were walking in being like, what the fuck is happening?
I was flustered.
Yeah. This was young Sean's sexual awakening.
Yeah.
And I said this when we watched it. Funny that years later you chose to write a Dracula play.
You love it's telling that in your adult life you're weirdly obsessed with Dracula.
Yeah,
in all his forms.
Oh yeah,
this had an impression
horny
on you, mate. Yeah,
yeah,
horny, horny, horny.
It's just incredible. Every character in the movie is horny.
Oh yeah,
Keanu. Keanu's not.
Nah, he is.
Keanu's not anything.
He just can't act.
He's horny, but he doesn't have the ability to act that he's horny. So underneath that wooden face,
it's an implied horniness.
Yeah, yeah.
For years, you'd told us, and you read online about, oh, Keanu's accent in Dracula is really bad. And you're like, yeah, but people are like, oh, Dick Van Dyke's accent in Mary Poppins is really bad. And it is, but you kind of get it because it's the charm of it. And I'm like, how bad can it be? Mm. And I tell you what, boys, it is maybe one of the worst accents put to film.
It's awful. Winona's is pretty bad as well.
Mm.
And what I never knew, like growing up watching this, I thought Gary Oldman's accent was good, but having since seen Romanian accents and been to Romania, I think his is dog shit as well.
Yeah.
But Keanu's is the worst. Probably the worst I've ever seen in any film.
It disappears for a whole third of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounded to me, I thought of this during it, it sounds like the South Park guys like purposely doing a bad accent. Yes. That's how it comes across.
Yeah.
But a lot of this film is like parody.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's trying to be very serious. And for the horniest film of all time, it has the least horny director, I think. We put on a bit of his audio commentary after just to try and get inside his mind.
Yeah.
And he just has nothing to say about the horniness.
No. It's insane that Coppola is famous for making what a lot of people view as like three of the best movies of all time in Godfather 1 and 2 and Apocalypse Now.
Yep. Mm.
People are like, those movies are some of the greatest movies ever made. And look, they're fantastic. And then he was like, what if? And it's clear just listening to the commentary of him in that little bit we watched, that he loves Dracula. The story of Dracula is really important to him. So when he got the opportunity to make this movie, he was like, yes, abso-fucking-lutely. Him and his brothers really enjoyed Dracula. He read it when he was like a camp counselor, like the boys that he was in charge of at the camp. Like, he loves Dracula.
Yeah.
And I think, boys, he loves Dracula too much. I think he's too horny for Dracula.
Yes, but doesn't realize he's too horny. There's a
great throwaway bit in the audio, which I have to mention. So there's a scene in the movie where Mina Harker's talking about her friend Lucy, who's a bit out there, and is opening a book of Lucy's, which is Arabian Nights. And there's a picture, like, all throughout this book of Arabian Nights is basically images, I guess, from the Kama Sutra.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she opens it, she's like, oh my God, what is this? I've not had sex because I'm not married yet. Mm. She clearly is. Well, she wants to. They're kissing in the garden before that peacock feather covers them up. That unnecessary peacock feather. But that book, when that comes up, he's like, oh, I donated that book. I never want that print. I never want to know what happened to it. That was mine. Basically saying that he owned that book. He loaned it to the production of the film. And then he never got it back. And he's always wanted it back.
He's a bit salty about it.
Gee, I fucking wonder, mate. Why do you want that book back so bad, Frank?
My favorite bit from the commentary was the scene where there's the three brides basically coming onto Keanu heavily.
Oh,
It's one step away from softcorn porn.
Yes.
Softcorn
and there's
porn. No, it's not even... It's there.
It's there. It's found its way there.
Dracula returns and yells at them and then decides to feed them a baby. And Francis Ford Coppola is just like, I always wondered what happened to that baby. I would like to meet that child now grown up and give them a gift.
Yeah.
And he's saying this over the top of porn.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that baby was so cute and so great and I really cared for that baby when I was holding that baby. Yeah, what... I should look that baby up. It's like, what the fuck, man? They're eating a baby. That whole sequence is cooked because it's super horny. Basically, Keanu gets a vampire blowjob, effectively.
Well, I think she bites him.
She must.
Yeah.
They're draining him of blood and
But then
cum.
It pulls to the wide shot and it's just as if he's imagining it because there's no one there.
Well,
because
it's a mirror above him.
Oh, it's a mirror. Okay. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You can't have an orgy without a mirror on the room.
I read that because there's a lot of practical effects on set here.
Yeah, yeah.
The only actual visual effect is the blue flames.
Which looks
for
terrible.
The entire film. Yeah, which looks like dog shit. But I read that to have the brides coming out of the blankets, they hired a magician. And so it's like a magic trick.
that's pretty cool. Like, again, there are some cool effects in it.
And also
for the time.
In that scene, Coppola was talking about how nervous he was about asking the women to be naked, even though it's in their contract, they said they would do it. And so he got all nervous and like nudged his young son who's working on the film and said, can you tell the girls to strip off? And he got nervous and like all the crew were just tapping each other on the shoulder and being like, you need to tell them to take their shirt off. What is this set?
Crazy. Like, for a movie that is that horny, it is not. The movie's horny because I think the set wasn't horny enough.
Right.
Yep.
The cast were horny. Like, anytime anyone was looking at one of the other cast members, their eyes were saying so much. Like, their heavy breathing. The amount of heavy breathing Winona Ryder did in this movie is insane. And then anytime there was a kiss, even like when her and Harker got married, that kiss is just like, they are going for it.
Well, okay, she is. Keanu's mouth is just open.
That's because his mouth's a plank of wood at this point. I read he wasn't happy with the way this film went, not because his accent's bad or anything. It's just I did a lot of big films before it, and I just didn't have the energy for this one. It's like, really, mate?
It's there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Oh, yeah.
Again, this is the guy who in Speed is running around like a loose unit.
Yeah. He goes from – there are scenes where he's overacting, like when they're eating the baby. His face is doing all sorts of crazy things. And then he goes to no emotion whatsoever. Like, it's crazy to me he had a career after this because he's so bad in it.
Yeah. I mean,
Coppola wanted Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay.
Studio pushed him for Keanu because they needed a heartthrob.
Right.
So apparently in 92, Johnny Depp wasn't a heartthrob.
Well, no, he wouldn't have been because he would have been coming off Scissorhands.
Oh, okay. Too weird.
Yep. Probably Benny and June and Scissorhands. So he's doing weird shit.
Yeah, okay.
And then I don't think, because he was a heartthrob early and then went weird. And then
became a heartthrob again and now is weird and gross.
And now he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are so many people in this movie too.
It's like, it's a surprisingly good cast and you've got a good range of actors. And it's also a terrible cast because no one is right for their role.
Mm.
There is one exception.
There is two exceptions.
Okay. Hit me with
Tom Waits is perfect as Renfield.
Yeah,
I
agree. Yes, good. Yeah.
Because he's just playing himself. And Anthony Hopkins shows up and the movie, because it's sort of middling along, and then the minute Anthony Hopkins shows up, it's like the film gets punched in the dick.
Yeah.
And just got, like, he is so good. And the delivery of, there's so many lines that he just delivers as comedic lines.
Yes.
That everyone else is like, oh, and he's just like, yeah, we cut off her head and set her on fire.
Yeah.
And that's how he delivers the line.
Yeah. Everyone else is playing it for melodrama. He's playing it for comedy, and it fucking nails it.
Yeah.
He's easily the best part of this film.
By a mile.
And you know who's not the best part of this film? Gary Oldman.
He sucks, doesn't he?
Oh, man. Does
I didn't remember him being this bad.
Yeah.
He's shocking.
Some of the choices he makes are just baffling.
It's wild.
I love some of them.
Because they're wild, though? Or because they're good acting?
Look, the choice he makes, the wind, that choice, so good.
Really?
I don't understand what he's doing. And what it does, because she still makes it to Romania to marry Harker.
Yeah. Right, that's a good call.
He's not the best at what he does, I guess.
No.
I'm baffled by how many times he changes appearance.
Yeah,
like, I understand he's old at the start. He's drinking blood. He's getting stronger. And he becomes young, apparently sexy Gary Oldman.
He's got
again.
A big butt for a hairdo.
Yeah, right. But then, like, at a certain point, he's a wolf man. Another one, he kind of looks like a crawler from The Descent.
Yes, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's all over the shop. And then when he becomes young, sexy Dracula... And he's in this crazy suit with those spectacles, those glasses.
Oh yeah, get me some of them.
Fucking hell, man.
I do love the oceans. I've traveled across oceans of time. That's nice. And I read that Gary Oldman read the script and he was like, that's why I want to do the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
which
mean,
is
that's,
not enough of a reason to do a film.
I mean, you can just say that. Yeah. You don't have to do a movie to say, you can just say it to yourself if you want, Gary.
And Tom, I've got to tell you this. I told Damo before. The wedding scene.
Yeah.
Coppola was like, this isn't good enough. Let's go to a proper church. We'll have a real priest do it. And to this day, Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder are pretty sure they're actually married legally. They're okay with it.
Oh, I fucking love that. I love that I feel like they've probably bonded over the panning of this movie.
Probably.
Because they would have been about similar ages and similar points in their careers.
Yes.
And we'll start like... took off a bit and have had a bit of a resurgence lately.
Winona Ryder and Gary Oldman apparently got on very well in rehearsals. And then when they came back to film, there was like big issues with them. And people were like, oh, what's going on here? And I think it's obvious that like something, like they had a fling or something. And then years later, she's interviewed and she said it was just like teenage school drama stuff. Not to worry about that. So it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
she goes, we're good friends now. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, one of the crazy things about this film is how much Winona Ryder really led this film in this.
Yes.
So it was meant to be originally straight to TV kind of a movie.
Okay.
And then she liked the script, thought obviously, it's Dracula. And so then she went to Francis Ford Coppola because she'd pulled out of Godfather 3 because basically she was just too tired, couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Went to have a meeting with him to sort of make good and brought it up and showed it to him. And obviously he's horny for Dracula, so he jumped at it. So she really led it there. But then even on set, like, a lot of the cast came from her picks of who she wanted in the cast.
Yeah,
that's wild that she had that much power over that movie.
They gloss over the Godfather Part 3 thing quite a bit. I think that was a huge deal at the time.
Mm.
She'd signed up for the film and then pulled out because she was sick or whatever. And I think he hated her. Like, there was a big...
Okay.
And then he got his daughter into act and she got panned by all the critics and it was like this big thing. So maybe that's how horny he is for Dracula. That he was like, you dogged me last time, but all right, we'll make peace.
I wonder if young Frankie Coppola had a similar experience to young Sean Carney, where he came upon a horny Dracula and it basically morphed his whole sexual history into this Dracula-focused thing.
Yeah.
There's just some insane stuff that just makes zero fucking sense. Like, so much of the movie makes no sense. Some of the characters just make no sense. Like, Lucy has three boyfriends, maybe. Why does he seduce Lucy when he wants Winona Ryder?
Yes.
Like, and that might be a plot point in the Dracula story. Why does he even go after Lucy when he wants Mina Harker?
Mm. In the context of this film, it makes no sense.
No.
Yeah.
On Lucy's three boyfriends, they were a lot of fun because they were genuinely buddies. Like, they seemed like they were genuinely close. And I read that Coppola wanted that to come across. And so he actually sent them out on little, like, bonding adventures where they'll go like horseback riding or hot air ballooning to build the camaraderie between
that's
the three.
That's fucking great.
How wonderful is that?
That is cool.
The fact that they're all like, we're all trying to fuck this girl, but only one of us can.
All right, chaps. Well, it shouldn't ruin our friendship. Fucking A. great.
Yeah, it's great. And I also love the fact that Van Helsing is presented in this movie as a doctor,
yep,
who specializes in infectious diseases. Syphilis, apparently.
Yeah.
And has that great line that the civilization and the syphilization of man have, like, risen concurrently.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's presented as this doctor who's Richard E. Grant's tutor, basically.
Mm, his mentor.
His mentor. And then when he comes into the film, then the minute he realizes that it's a vampire, there's a scene of him reading a book being like, ah, it's Dracula. I've chased him for so many years. It's like, I thought you were just a dog. Yeah. Where the fuck did that come from? And they never address that in the movie.
The only hint that he could have been chasing a vampire for years is that he's got that huge scar on his face. Yep. And so there's something a bit grizzled about him. Yep. But other than that, he's just an academic.
No.
So it doesn't really make any sense.
And then when he learns that it's Dracula, instead of being like, this is really dangerous, he's laughing hysterically for about 5 minutes and he's like, let's go have lunch.
Yeah. I need to feed. Let's go.
Yeah. He's hungry.
I think he says, feed me.
Yeah. Feed me, yeah.
I'm starving. Yeah.
And then he performs some magic.
Yeah, what the fuck? That was fucked.
Is he a wizard?
Or is it like a sleight of hand thing? They don't fucking clarify.
Don't worry. They don't even give a fuck. Yeah. Just Hopkins steps out from behind a tree, chomping his cigar, also, loving life.
You know when he gets horny?
Yeah.
And then the brides are surrounding him. And Tom, you looked at me and went, he's fucked. Because it's at night and he's put the flame ring around him.
Right.
And then it just cuts to the next morning. The brides are back in the castle. They're asleep and he kills them.
He decapitates them.
Cuts their heads off and throws them off the thing. Goes, no sense.
No. I love his journey so much. But yeah, he can hypnotize people because that's how he's able to.
Yeah.
I assume that the implication being that he has studied in mystic art, which is why he's prepared to fight a vampire.
Right.
He knows how to kill them, but he can astral project and teleport, but also he has the ability to hypnotize people, which is what he does throughout the film multiple times. And I think that's the implication, is that because he can hypnotize, he's able to kind of control Mina when she's in the throes of Dracula. But boys, here's a question. At the end of that movie, what is she free?
I think she is.
I think she's meant to be free. When Dracula dies, we see so that Van Helsing had burnt her when she was in full sort of possessed mode.
Horny vampire mode.
And basically once Drac goes, that disappears off her head, which I think is our cue to be like,
has she turned into a vampire?
That's what
and
I'm
she's
thinking.
Just healed.
Is she fully...
Oh.
Is she now... Because she says... Because Harker lets her go into the castle with Dracula.
Yeah.
And she says to him, when the time comes for me, will you be able to do it?
Yeah. So it's so unclear.
Yeah.
Has his death cured her? Like, it's basically... It's missing one more scene.
Yeah.
It needs to return her to the real world outside to be back with humans. Or have her come out and...
I mean, if we're looking at this logically... If literally they're saying it is a blood disease, this vampirism, hence the reason for Van Helsing, well, him dying has no effect on her whatsoever.
I think she's Dracula.
Yeah. But then this movie, logic doesn't mean a fucking thing.
I mean, they do have that lingering... The final shot of the film is of them replicating the painting above, which makes me think she's joined him now.
Right.
And Jonathan will have to kill her at some point.
I think the canon is that Mina Harker is a vampire.
Okay.
Isn't she? Oh, not a full-fledged one, but like to some extent.
Yeah.
I don't think she's cured. Mm. But yeah, they didn't do it well. You know how we talked about the blue flame?
And
we're kind of like, hey, it looks shit. It's the only special effect in the film.
Yeah.
What it is in the book is once a year, those blue flames appear and it's to mark where there is like hidden treasure. So the stagecoach at the start, when he's bringing Harker to the castle, he sees them and puts rocks there. So he's like, I'll come back later and get my treasure.
Oh, get me some treasure.
There's kind of no point for them to be in it.
It doesn't even relate to Dracula.
Yeah. It shouldn't be there.
Wow.
Also, the idea in the film is that the guy driving the coach is Dracula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's heavily also
which in the book is implied because it's like Harker gets to the castle and he's like, doesn't seem to be anyone else who works here. So he comes to the conclusion that it's Dracula. And they had Gary Oldman play him in the film.
Not that you can see
even
his face,
he's got a mask,
but yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, there's... Look,
even that's dumb as shit. Because Harker should be like, how did that guy's arm stretch and pick me up?
Yes.
He's not really frazzled by anything until
it's
way too late.
Well, you've got Keanu's blank face. You've got no idea what's going
Actually,
on.
Actually, maybe he is. Maybe in that moment, Keanu's like, I am baffled.
Yeah.
But we just don't know.
As you can tell from my expression, I am both baffled and terrified.
I love the idea that underneath that face could be the greatest performance of all time.
There's an internalized Academy Award happening just within Keanu's body.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, though, I don't think that's necessarily Keanu's fault in that part, is because even watching other Dracula stories, Jonathan Harker's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, in every version of it, he's like, oh, I'm just stuck in this house now with these horny hot brides and Dracula. Oh, well.
Yep.
going to get my blood and dick sucked forever.
He got proper drained, didn't
got
he?
Drained yeah. in yeah. every conceivable way.
Fuck.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, boys, were we scared?
No.
Like, it's like what you said before, Carney. This movie almost felt like it was a spoof. Like, it was like it was trying to be like almost like a Mel Brooks version.
Would this be scarier in 92? I don't think so.
I can't imagine it was.
Because there's parts of like Nightmare on Elm Street is goofy, but there's parts of that are scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, Friday the 13th is ridiculous and horny, but there are parts of that where you're like, oh, that's a bit full on.
Right.
This doesn't even achieve like unsettling creepiness.
No.
And I think the key to it would if Gary Oldman wasn't so over the top.
Yeah. Yes.
If you could settle into being, because at no point are you afraid of Dracula. You're just like, this guy's fucking cooked.
Too much ham in my sandwich.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, too much ham in the sandwich.
That is like, is there even any bread? I think it's just ham on ham.
Oh, fuck.
The scariest part was probably the costumes, which were actually quite good.
Academy Award winning.
Academy Award winning, apparently.
The makeup, special effects, and costumes all won Academy Awards, which that makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Suicide Squad won a makeup award, so.
Which is a disgrace. Right.
But that is also a disgrace because most of the makeup is CGI.
Well, that's true. But yeah, some of those you're like, oh, that looks cool. It's like what you were saying. I don't understand why we've now got his fifth sort of physical change.
Yeah,
it
looks weird.
It looks impressive. That's something.
It's kind of like, do you know what it makes me think? Whoever designed the film at the start went, all right, Francis, here are 5 different looks we could go for Dracula. And he just wanted all of them.
Right.
Well, because there's that story he told in the commentary where he fired the first production designer because the guy didn't know what he wanted. Like, he was trying to describe and the guy just wouldn't get it. So he's like, I had to fire him and he was a bit shocked by it.
Yeah.
And he brought in 2 young up-and-coming production designers who understood what he wanted, which was that each costume had to feel like a set piece.
Yeah. Right. He also fired the special effects team because they said, you need special effects. And he said, I do not want any.
Yeah.
And so he got his son, Roman, who was, I think, 29 at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he did. So basically all the effects are done using magician tricks and shit like that.
Like
real clever stuff. You know the scene where he's shaving him and the walls are moving in?
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that was a cool technique.
Yeah, yeah. Even the stuff, like, it's not, it looks shit, but the
shadows.
Stuff on the train when he's reading the letters and it's appearing on his face.
Yeah.
They filmed the letter and then just played the letter back on a projection onto Keanu's face.
Which is cool.
That's pretty cool.
There is some inventive creativity in there that you have to appreciate. But even he acknowledges in that commentary that we watched, which happened to be when the wolf bat bear fucking was happening.
He went silent for a moment. Paying my respects to the wolf fuck.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Take it in the moment.
Yeah.
he addresses the fact that they tried a lot of different things and not all of it worked.
Yeah.
And I think that's him being like, I don't think this thing works anymore. Oh, there's a lot of tits in this movie
too.
Yeah,
there
Fuck.
Really is. Well, I just want to jump back for a minute into the outfits for Dracula, because there's this great story of basically when he's like the bat-like creature. So there's a scene where they all the heroes sort of burst in on Dracula and Mina, and he's in the bat-like creature mode. And Oldman didn't feel like he was being very scary in the moment because the suit was really constricting. And so Coppola's told him, just whisper something scary into each of the cast members' ears, which he did with relish. He loved this idea. And so he did. And no one knows what he said to each of them, but they all looked absolutely terrified after he whispered something creepy in their ear.
You know what else is great? Talking about Gary Oldman's whispering, there's a bit in it where Lucy's got to get extremely horny in the bed.
Okay.
And Francis just went, Gary, can you help her out? And he just went up and started whispering to turn her on.
Shit.
Gary Oldman's whispering.
Yeah. Powerful.
Powerful
weapon.
Shit.
Yeah. It's a weapon to be wielded.
Better when you're whispering than when you're fucking hamming it up.
All right, did our characters act wisely or foolishly?
Dumbest cunts in the world. The only person who is vaguely intelligent is Van Helsing, but...
He's still dumb.
But...
He gets seduced by horniness.
He gets seduced by horniness and lunch.
Yeah, that's true. Food is his undoing.
Yeah.
Right.
He could have saved a life.
Lucy dies because he went off and had some lunch.
What did he even eat? There was that... One of you said it. When we cut back to him after she's died, I wish he was just eating. Yeah, it was so funny. Yeah. He was just like wiping a bit of crust off his face or something.
That scene at her funeral where she's in that beautiful glass coffin and all the men are grieving because they all loved her in their own way. And that their bond again is so... Their bond is actually great. Mm. They should be the main characters. We should be focusing on those three the three boyfriends and not Jonathan Harker. Mm-hmm. kill Harker. Yep. Harker should die in Transylvania.
Yeah.
But yeah, Van Helsing... Having that moment at the funeral where he's like, Dr. Seward. And Richard E. Grant comes over. He's like, you and I will need to examine the body afterwards. He's like, an autopsy. He's like, oh, no, get me some medical knives. And the implication is that he wants to examine the body. And Seward's kind of horrified, but he gets it because it's a procedure. He's like, oh, an autopsy. Yeah, he's like, yes, we need to cut off her head and cut out her heart. And Seward just walks off. And Van Helsing's like, why are you being such a fuckhead about this? Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah, he doesn't explain enough. When he's telling the guys you need to guard her tonight, he just laughs in their faces. He's like, all right, feed me. you're the only intelligent guy. They're pretty clever when they're gonna cut off Dracula. Like they do some good planning there. But then also they fuck it up because like why do they just leave Van Helsing? Like they leave me like chain her up.
Wasn't anyone just keeping an eye on Mina? Like Dracula immediately slips by them in smoke form, gets Mina to climax basically, and then he's like chatting away with her, and she goes, "Great, turn me into a vampire."
Yep.
No one is there to stop him,
and he also is reluctant to do so. And she's like, "No, do it. I'm ready."
Yeah.
Do you know why the smoke is green?
Why?
Green is associated with lust.
I've never heard that in my life.
Yeah,
that's horniest why the women film.
That's
ever.
Why Mina and Lucy often wear green as well.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Is that why Hark is wearing green at the end?
Oh, because he found a bit of passion, has he?
Well, we can't see.
You know who didn't act wisely? Did you say before the hair and makeup won an Oscar?
Yes.
That's baffling because, okay, he goes through a lot, Harker. So when you next see him later in the film, he's a bit grey, which looks like dog shit. It looks like, I think Tommy said they've just put some talcum powder in his hair.
Right.
For one scene and one scene only, he's full on white. His hair is just white, like he's 100 years old. And then it cuts back to just being like a little bit scattered with grey again.
Yeah.
How do you win an Oscar?
The idea is, I guess, what he's gone.
Respect white for with winning
fear.
It. Well done.
Yeah.
How?
I think it's because they went, they must have blown all their budget on the bum head.
Yeah. All right, boys. For our situation, how are we doing this? We're talking about how much we love the three boyfriends of Lucy.
Yeah.
There's three of us. Yeah. I think we're the boyfriends.
We are.
Beautiful.
Who wants to be the doctor? And who wants. So, what do we got? Doctor, we got the Lord, and we got Cowboy.
I think you're the doctor.
All right, bring it on. Yeah.
I think you're the cowboy.
Love it.
You got the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And that makes me carry Elvis. Elvis?
Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy.
How the fuck is
I actually don't know. Yeah. Just the dude from that mediocre film, The Princess Bride.
The fact that both of you hate that movie
is
more of a crime than most of the sex things that happen in
life. Don't hate it. Just think it's overrated.
I think at first I'm like, oh no, this is easy. Because like, one, we'd be, again, our greatest superpower, we'd be willing to believe Van Helsing immediately.
Right.
Problem was, he's a fucking idiot and doesn't tell us how to do shit properly.
Yeah.
The other issue we have is...
It's the horny factor.
Boys, I just know. I just know. In my heart, I would join Team Dracula like that.
We know it too, mate. We know it. You would come out decked in green, be like, just whatever you have to do, Drac, bring it on.
That green smoke, Tom.
Yeah.
Fill your nostrils.
Brides,
fill every hole of you, mate.
Every orifice.
Again, in the same way that I would betray you for Jennifer and Jennifer's body, I'd betray you for probably all the brides, Lucy and Dracula.
Every version of Dracula, like, oh, fuck, I'm still horny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he looks
sorry,
like.
Sorry, boys. I'm sorry. You need to kill me very quickly.
That bum hair, I don't even know why, it's doing something for me.
I think this would unravel for us really quickly.
Yeah.
Tom would get horny and betray us. Van Helsing's fucking magician. We just don't know. We can't wrangle him.
Yeah.
I don't know what we would do.
I don't. Yeah, there's not an easy answer here.
You know what bothers me about the representation of him in this? Because they go with the whole thing of he's Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
So Vlad loves impaling.
Right.
Dracula doesn't come close to doing any of that.
Oh, that's a good
point. Why do they never... Like, no one's ever done that with Dracula. The whole thing, they froth over the impaling, but then, like, he's just biting necks.
Yeah.
Stick a fucking spear up someone's asshole. I'm sorry. You guys know I've been to Romania, so that's another thing that rattled me when I went there. Because I've always thought of impaling as just, like, stabbing through one end to the other.
Right.
Through anything. Kebab. Stab someone through the hand. Impaled.
Yeah.
Vlad the Impaler's method was to put the spear up the arsehole, rip through the internal organs, and then come out the mouth. That's his thing. So you go there. I went to a little village called Sigasora, and there's the house that Vlad grew up in, blah, blah, blah. And they've got paintings on the wall, and they're all impalings, and they're all like brutal ones. Oh. But every time I watch a Dracula film with Vlad the Impaler, it's just, he stabbed him through the stomach.
Right. All good.
And it's like, go hard, mate.
Yeah, there's so much. That description of you just gave of impaling was more scary than this whole movie.
It's disturbing.
It is disturbing.
That's a little off topic, but it just annoys me that Dracula, like the whole thing, if you're going to use the Vlad the Impaler thing, that's his one move. He's horny for impaling.
Yeah.
Through that. We couldn't beat that. We can't. Weirdly, I don't think we can beat this film.
No, I think with Tom being so horny, if you're the Texan guy, well, you could very well die.
Like, I could shoot him, but like that would be my go-to, to shoot him.
Just shoot him,
if I'm Mr. Fucking
shooting
Cowboy.
Shooting doesn't do shit. He's got to be steak and then have his head cut off.
The head cutting off thing is not something I'm familiar with in vampire stories. It's normally just stake through the heart.
Yeah, that's new, but it works.
I've read and seen stuff where it's you got to cut the head off.
Okay,
To kill, like to kill. Mm.
Actually, Texan guy's got the blade.
Yeah,
well, it's his blade that's in the chest.
Yeah, okay. Right. Okay.
Well, look, I think vampires. So our go-to is to start carving up some steaks.
Yes,
that's probably what we do first. Also, operate in the daylight.
Yeah,
they keep hunting in the darkness, and it's like, you dumb fucks.
That's when he's most
do
powerful.
Do they not know?
No, they... Well,
Van Helsing should know. He's read a book about vampires.
We might hear it over narration, I feel like.
They must know, because with Lucy, they're doing things like garlic.
Yeah.
So they must know about darkness.
I think Van Helsing's looking through his book, and he's like, they can exist in the light. It's rumored that they can't exist in the light. They can. They're just weaker. And then we cut to the scene
and then
walking down the street.
And then they need to go back into their dirt to rejuvenate.
Right, yeah. Right.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Do they go around to the 10 different properties that he's bought? It seems like they just go to the one, which is across the road from the insane asylum.
So he's bought 10 different properties to put 10 different plots of Transylvanian dirt.
Yeah.
Yet somehow he's got them all in the one location and they can destroy it in one hit.
Seem dumb as fuck.
I mean, it's a dumb movie.
But we've got Harker, so we know where that property is, I guess.
Yeah.
Although the movie probably sketched over it. Maybe they had to go to 10 different properties and then finally, like, here they all together.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we use Harker. We find the property.
Yeah.
We go there in the daylight.
I also think, so obviously Mina is the one who ultimately kills Drac.
Yeah.
So if Tom's horny for Drac, can we convince Tom to be so horny and in love with Drac that the best thing he can do is kill him?
I think so. I think we can mold his mind to do that.
I'd be open to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were like, you got to kill him and eventually Mina harked him, I'd then come out of the castle and be like, boys, I'm not a vampire anymore, and then turn you both into vampires so we can be vampire friends forever. Oh,
cool.
Scaredy Boys, episode 6000.
Bloody Boys.
The Blood Boys.
The Fangy Boys.
I love the idea of us having to convince you, like, hey, Tom, you know what would be really hot?
What?
Fucking cut his head off.
All right.
Oh, man, it's this new thing everyone's doing. It's fucking sexy ass.
I want to be cool and sexy.
Got to be as sexy as Gary.
Just tapping into 14-year-old me who was like, terrified of how to be around girls and being like, you know, what's hot, Tom? Cutting heads off. That's what all the ladies love.
Damo, we convince him to do that. And he's going to do it. But then it just, all it takes is Gary whispering in his ear and we lose.
The power of
if
Gary
he whispers, we're fucked.
Yeah, his whispering's powerful. But no, boys, if you convince me hard enough and he starts whispering in my ear, I'm like, yeah, he's into this.
Oh, he's loving this.
he's getting really hot under the collar.
His biggest weapon is his down.
Right. The way he licks that knife in the shaving scene, I reckon he is into it too.
I read that they filmed that after midnight to get the right vibe.
Right.
And that Gary Oldman was very drunk.
Was he drunk for the whole movie? Because it feels like
all I read
like
was just that scene, apparently.
Nah, he was bombed for the whole
thing.
Seems
like a bad scene to be drunk when you're shaving someone's neck.
And then licking the blade.
Yeah.
Fucking hell,
I mean,
Gary.
I assume it's just a plastic.
Gary
blade.
Was unhinged in this.
Yeah, very.
Fucked. Yeah. I think we do okay and then we beat Dracula, but then we all end up being vampires.
Yeah. Well, the fact that you've betrayed us, I hope we can convince you to save the day for us, but then on your, like, on his way out, I hope he impales you, because that's what you deserve, mate.
Fuck, a spear up the ass.
Yep.
Jesus.
And a whisper in the ear.
Yeah.
That's all the horny talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you scaredy/horny listeners have any comments about this episode or would like to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at scaredyboys or individually, I'm at Midday Pajamas.
I'm at Carney from 55.
I'm at Awkward Trade.
Stay horny, everyone.
Stick a fucking spear up someone's asshole.